Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. And we're going to be talking about something that we all have an interest in, and what is that? Food. Yes, we can't live without it. And using it and understanding how to use it effectively and well for your health and for generally just being able to enjoy life in a much more abundant fashion. We have a delightful guest. Her name is Rio, and she's put together a book, Hooked on Raw. Now, those of you that are regular listeners know that I am not a vegetarian. I do love vegetables, however, and I am a strong advocate for juicing. I really know how well it works and how very vital it is. And Rio is going to be sharing some of her very perceptive thoughts and experiences about her life and how it was changed because of the way that she ate. Rio, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with
now,
you.
Rio, you have your own farm. In fact, I'm talking to you on that line at the farm. Am I correct?
That's right. It's a farm that's not open for business yet, but I'm in the process of setting everything up.
Wow. Now, is this something that was a dream of yours from the time you were a little girl, or is it something that as an adult, as you became educated and aware of how important farming was and is, that you decided you wanted to do something on your own?
As a little girl, I told my mother I wanted a farm, and she said, "You're crazy."
I think most people would say that to a little tiny person. You're nuts. You don't know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
But you also had your own personal experience when you were growing up. You had two turtles as a pet. Tell us that story. And your sister and you, what you had as an experience that changed your life.
We were very young, and my father, who also had a dream of having a farm in Mexico, and he did have one for a period of time, and he brought two tortoises from Mexico to our home in Los Angeles, and put them in the backyard, and my sister and I would play with those for months, and they became our friends. And then one day, they disappeared. And I was only maybe 5, 6 years old, probably six, and they just disappeared, and then all of a sudden, we had a lot of, quote, chicken to eat. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put it together right away, but I did, you know, down the road, I put it together that we ate the tortoises.
Mm-hmm.
And
that for food.
Mm-hmm. And that really, it did make a deep impression on me because they were friends, and you don't eat your friends.
Eat your friends.
Normally. So,
right.
So that really stuck with me. And then when I, you know, when I grew up, the first chance I got, I converted to be a vegetarian. And it's worked for me for many years.
Now, with your mom and with your family, were you the only one that became the vegetarian in the family?
Yes.
I have known many, many people who have been in families, and they are the only one that became the vegetarian. And it's a fascinating phenomena that you see, and not many of them have had experiences like you had to the degree that it really affected them. And it's fascinating, you know, to watch. And of course, it's all a choice. And I really think what is so important about raw fruits and vegetables and various plants, greens, as I like to call them, is understanding the nutrient value. But your book, Hooked on Raw, is educational in many ways. It's not just talking about, gee, go out and become a vegetarian. That's not what you're doing. You really are educating people about the healthfulness of having raw foods in the diet, and that it is very, very conducive to having better health as an individual. And
well, I really appreciate that you're saying that, because when I first came out with my book, I had two publishers interested, and they, both of them, wanted me to eliminate that whole front section where I talk about why people are, you know, why to make these changes.
Oh, I think it's the
best
part
of the book. They wanted to eliminate that.
No. I think if you go back into history, you know, you think about Jack LaLanne, who's an icon at 96, and this is a man whose life was turned around because he changed the way he looked at food. He said, I am Paul Bragg, was a man that influenced him. So when you encounter certain experiences in life and when you become aware that you are what you eat, you will hear that statement made by many people without them being mindful of what they're saying. But you are what you eat. If you have food that has no nutrition in it, you're not going to be healthy. It's just simple. But there is more than that. If you go into information about farming and genetic engineering to a degree, and Mother Nature is a genetic engineer. However, there have been things that have been done to alter many aspects of food, and the average person doesn't have an understanding about it. And I'm reading through your book, and I'm going, I had a conversation with so-and-so not too long ago. And my mind goes through a lot of what you mentioned, and I think that you have some very, very good, solid information. But we are going to have to talk about romance for a minute, because that's a very important part of your life. You have a wonderful man called Lee. I had the opportunity to talk to him for just a few seconds before I was able to get you on the phone. And I think that your story of how you met and how you did a woman thing.
Yes, I did.
Force, but it is a total gal perspective. So you've got to share that with my audience.
Okay, I believe you're talking about how I got him to eat raw food?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, he became a vegetarian when we got together. And so a few years after that, when I became raw, he said, I'm done. I'm not going raw. I'm a vegetarian. That's it. So he put his foot down, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I said to myself, well, what am I going to do? I mean, I can't, you know, you can't really force your way on anybody. That's not the right thing to do. So what I did is I went into the kitchen. I knew what kind of foods that he liked to eat. So I went into the kitchen and I started experimenting with raw food dishes that were similar to what he enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I would do is, like, for example, if he was working late or something, I'd just have his favorite dish ready when he'd come. What's he going to do, start cooking or eat my dish? So, you know,
oh, that is a subtle manipulation there.
I use little tricks.
yep, absolutely. And he has been absolutely very, very supportive of you and what you've done, especially after he got a particular urinary bladder infection. And you encouraged him to drink a quart of fresh juice each day to see if it had any effect instead of taking medicine. And it worked.
It worked, but he wasn't too happy about doing it. But he wanted to please me. That's early in the relationship, you know. He's out
when
please.
It just started. Good time to get it back. Like, that's a girl. That's what you do when they don't know any better. Okay.
So, no, it worked. It absolutely worked. Each day it was less and less painful, and he got over it. The first thing he wanted is to go down to the, what was that?
The HMO that he was
in. The HMO he belonged to. So he was getting ready to go there, and then I gave him that, you know, I gave him that challenge. And he took it.
Yes. And actually, that is something that when we're able to really understand our bodies, we will become aware of what our bodies need. And the body then will heal itself very efficiently and well. And Hippocrates said, food is the healer and do no harm. You know, and I'm making a generalization of statement there. But that do no harm has so often been ignored. And so you were aware of something. He was willing to try it, and he found, wow, this really made a difference. And it was a juice cocktail that you had put
together.
And
for your listeners, if they want to know what that combination was that worked,
sure,
within a week it worked, is carrot, celery, cucumber, and parsley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was.
Right. And it's fresh. You juice it fresh.
You juice it fresh.
Juicing is absolutely marvelous. In fact, for those of you that have never tried it, if you will juice your vegetables and try to buy your vegetables local, if you have a local farming association or a farmer's market and you know that there are local farmers that contribute to it, buy local, because that, Edgar Cayce said many, many years ago, if you buy the vegetables that are local to your own environment that you're living in, it's a lot healthier for you. And that really is true. But in today's world, we are very fortunate. There are many places in the country that if you didn't have trucks and planes and trains hauling produce, you wouldn't have any. So having been in a few places like that, when you get your vegetables and you juice them, you are getting a nutritional powerhouse that is absolutely amazing. And we'll talk about wheatgrass and some other things later on. But we've got to talk about one other thing with Lee.
Okay.
Because I laughed when I read this. I thought, this poor guy, he has suffered for you.
Yes, he has. He has bent over backwards.
I mean, he has. He ended up with a challenge with high blood pressure.
Yes.
And you said, use garlic. And I just laughed myself silly because he was using garlic. And you gave him something that he needed to chug down. And it was, he chugged it down and he threw it right back up.
I made him, because, you know, I was young and stupid. So I made him fresh garlic juice. And I said, drink it.
Oh, boy.
So it went down and turned around and said, mm-mm, and went right back up. So then the next thing we did is we went to the health food store, and there's something called kyolic. It's aged garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And it works just as well. And his blood pressure came right down.
This is something that I think is marvelous because it doesn't have side effects other than if, you know, you don't want to breathe too hard on someone. I don't know about kyolic, but I'm...
Kyolic actually doesn't smell, so
good.
No, you wouldn't get
good.
That.
Good. But I know I've passed a few people that strongly believed in garlic, and I kept on moving. Because
you know what? The secret to that is when you're all eating garlic, nobody smells anything.
Yes, but I hadn't, and this individual had. No,
right.
Anyhow, moving on. You really give some wonderful stories, and they're very poignant stories, about people who were so locked in to particular modalities of thinking that they were unwilling to look at options for wellness. And for you, you have been absolutely delighted, and Lee has evolved to that too, in making raw foods a part of your life. Not everybody is going to be of that disposition in nature, but I think that the wisdom and the understandings that you share in your book are very viable, whether someone chooses to eat raw totally or become a vegan. It really doesn't make any difference. What we need to do is be educated and understand why vegetables are so very, very important. And you go into this, and you have some interesting information. Viktora Skuldinska, and I may not have pronounced that name correctly, and you can be happy. I know, I'm happy to
you
have
pronounced it perfect. Skuldinska.
Oh,
yes.
That's wonderful. He talked about leukocytosis And he said that in his research, this occurs when additives, pesticides, and chemically based supplements are ingested. Talk to us a little bit about this.
And not only that, but also cooked food.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that discovered a researcher from the 1930s called Edward Howell. And Edward Howell had done a lot of research on enzyme nutrition and all kinds of things related to raw food. And so it was discovered that with cooked foods, I think I'm confusing him with somebody else, but anyway, Kovinskis says, and I believe, and there was another researcher, but his name slips my mind right now, but he discovered that when you eat cooked food, it calls up a response from the body. The body responds by sending white blood cells to the organs of digestion. Now, the only time the body sends white blood cells anywhere is in response to either an injury or an infection or something that is damaged within your body. So, you know, that's your immune system. It sends those white blood cells. But he discovered that, I remember now, Kutchikov. It was Kutchikov, I believe a Swedish researcher. Mm-hmm. And he discovered that the leukocytes go to the organs of digestion. This used to be considered normal. But Kutchikov found out that if you were eating the same food raw, it did not call up that response. That would not happen.
People, for so many centuries, had a terrible time preserving food. And in our world today, in many, many respects, we are so very, very fortunate because generally, just about anywhere, I can think of Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, far north, you can get some of those beautiful vegetables that 15 years ago, you were lucky if you saw during winter. They have them now all year long. And that's because of the infrastructure, of transportation, of refrigeration, all of these things that have evolved. But one of the things that has occurred through the years is that we have become more efficient with farming. We have bigger and better crops, although that has been changing. A lot of things that we assume have always been available have not. And one of the things we're finding with food that we have today, because of the way that they're grown and because of many factors of seed development, etc., there's not the nutritional base in the food as there used to be. And there's many different components in it. But you have a very interesting section on phytochemicals. And I became aware of these about 4 years ago. And they are absolutely essential for the well-being of the human body and also for the absorption of nutrients that we take in. Let's go into that a little bit.
Okay, well, phytochemicals are the new kid on the block, so to speak. You know, we've known about vitamins and minerals for ages. Unfortunately, nutritionists don't talk about enzymes very much because there are no enzymes in cooked food. It's destroyed between, let's say, 115 and 118 Fahrenheit. So nutritionists stay away from the enzymes. But phytochemicals, that's the new kid on the block. And it's amazing what they do. They just... Mm-hmm. They're actually created in the plant to protect the plant from
right.
Insects or even maybe too much sun or, you know, it's something that's created in the plant. But when it comes into our body, then it has the same effect, a protective effect for our body as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a whole new area of research that is taking place now, and it's very, very exciting. And I always look at it in this way. It took us so many years between discovering vitamins and minerals to discover phytochemicals. What else is there in raw food that we have not discovered?
Mm-hmm. Very true. And one of the things that I find very interesting that I learned about was alfalfa. And that alfalfa, the nutrient-dense value of alfalfa, comes from the fact that the roots go down 17 to 18 feet, if not more, in the environment that they're grown in. And that being the case, those plants have a way of creating this phenomenal nutritional structure. And alfalfa has long been known for its value. It's a green plant, and it's just tremendous. Animals have benefited from eating it, and it's just got tremendous health benefits for people. But if the plant doesn't have that kind of root structure, you're not going to get those nutrients. So it's so complex. I think of someone like Luther Burbank that made inroads into understanding plants and the plant kingdom and potatoes and how to grow potatoes so that we have them now with such abundance. We are able to deal, we have so many varieties, not unlike the Indians of South America. We've just got all of these different varieties that belong in our world, and it's fascinating because it has nutrient value. That's another food, but there's all kinds of things that we have not learned. But there's the commercial side, nutraceuticals, and I know for a fact that there are patents on nutraceuticals, which are actually in many ways considered, from what I've been given to understand, a threat by people that are in the business of synthetically producing nutrients. When they find out about this, they're not too happy because apparently you can put a patent on nutraceuticals where you cannot necessarily patent what has already been, but this is something that's been discovered. So it's a brand new, like you said, a new kid on the block. And there are companies that are working with this, and people are responding because they're seeing good results from it.
Well, those types of things are good, but I don't like the fact that they are being patented. That I don't agree with, because nature is so prolific and so diverse and so generous. She mm-hmm. put everything here for us and all the other creatures on the planet. And so why then are we allowing private companies to usurp what she put here for everyone and make it private? I don't agree with that. But getting back to what you were saying about the alfalfa and how it goes down so many feet, all wild plants like dandelion and burdock, and those plants go down very, very deep, constantly trying to destroy the dandelions. You know, we've got mm-hmm. all kinds of chemicals and pesticides or herbicides trying to destroy the dandelions, when we don't realize, first of all, the dandelion is so beneficial to us for us to eat it, but also it's beneficial for the cultivated plants, because when it goes down so deep and then it dies, those nutrients that were in the dandelion stay in the soil on the surface and are able to break down and then feed the cultivated plants.
It's a fascinating process. It's something we're not really aware of. But I can tell you, I knew of Italian families where the women would go out and look for the greens, the dandelion plants, etc., that were growing wild. And this was a few years back. But they would do that. And that's how they fed their families. Because many times they didn't have much money.
And that's the thing to do, because when you look at a nutrient assay, and you, let's say there's a wild plant out here called lamb's quarters, which is the cousin to cultivated spinach. It's like mm-hmm. a wild spinach. Mm-hmm. When you, and spinach is a wonderful plant, but when you compare the nutrient value of spinach to lamb quarters is off the charts. So mm-hmm. why not eat the wild plant that nature put here?
Well, and that brings me to one of the characters that you have in your book. It's Wild Man Steve Brill in New York, and that's
yes.
where you are. You've got to tell us about this man, because I think what he is doing is incredible, and that the people are interested enough to go out into the parks in New York, where you say they don't have the budget to use pesticides so people actually can go out into the gardens in New York and pick up a lot of this wild growth and take it home.
Wildman Steve Brill is, he's a jewel that we have in New York. One summer many years ago, I went with him almost every weekend. He went to a different park, and I learned about all the wild foods, and it was such an education. He is really a jewel. He's very funny, and he became well known because he got arrested in the beginning for eating a dandelion, and that was so...
What?
Yes, he did. He got arrested because you're not supposed to pick things in the park, you know.
They have a rule about that, I see.
They have some kind of rule about that. So, but he got arrested and became well known, and then the park department hired him to take people through the park. So then it became okay after that.
Then it became, oh my goodness. Okay, but just know if you go to New York, don't pick the dandelions, they'll arrest you. Okay.
No, I don't think they're enforcing that now. And
oh, I'm
he
so
goes
glad.
Every weekend he goes to different parks. He's still doing it these many years later, and he's teaching people, and particularly children is his passion, to instill in children the love of nature. When a child sees something that's just amazing, you know, their eyes just light up, and you know that something is resonating there, and that's going to stay with them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what his passion is. I just love what he does.
You
and this
have.
Is one of the things that I want to do at my farm eventually, because I'm cultivating a lot of wild plants to be able to sell wild plants, because it's very difficult to find those kind of plants. Nobody, you know, rarely do you find them on the market for sale.
That's true. And many times various plants, depending on the area you live in, may not be in your area, but there may be those that are the relative of same. And if you understand them and you're willing to experiment and to see what works in your area, that's very, very important. One of the things I would say to my listeners, if you're interested in gardening, be sure you check your soil wherever you are. Where I am living, for example, in the Pacific Northwest, there was a smelter called ASARCO. And there are constant warnings about don't grow things in the soil that you're living in. You need to have it tested first because there may be high levels of arsenic. And you want to make sure, and I'm just sharing this with the audience, if you are interested in having a little garden, you can have something even on an apartment balcony. If you want to do that, make sure that you have good, healthy soil that you put in there. Be sure, wherever you're living, if you're going to grow anything, have your soil tested in case any chemicals have been there. I was in Colorado one year. I'll never forget this. People had no clue about the pollution in their area, and the land that they were living on, they found was quite toxic. And so, you have these things that occur, and sometimes they're a natural occurrence, and other times they're man-made. So this is very, very important because plants absorb whatever they are in. And you bring that point out in your book, and I think that's good. I know we're close to running out of time here. I wanted to talk about the experiment with Pottinger's cats. This absolutely was amazing to me. Now, cats should generally have raw food, and most people, you know, they think they're supposed to feed ordinary cat food like you see advertised on television, etc. But what I found so informative in your book was the research done by this man, and he found that if the diet of the cat was not changed, that each litter it had, the female would become weaker and the kittens would become weaker. When the diet was changed, it took 4 generations of kittens before they went back to normal. That, to me, was mind-boggling, and you said we have to think about that with people.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, we're in the midst of it now anyway, because with the standard American diet the way it is, I mean, people are just deteriorating, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the genetic engineering that's happening, And people in the United States are not even aware that between 70 and 75% of the processed foods in the supermarkets contain GMOs. People are not aware of this in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I just came from a vegetarian festival where I was in California speaking, and the first thing I asked the audience is, can someone give me a definition, you know, for what genetic engineering is? Nothing. Nobody mm-hmm. knew. And these are informed people because they're there to learn about health, and they've already informed themselves somewhat about health, but they don't know about genetic engineering.
Well, your book, and I know we're out of time here, Hooked on Raw, is not just a book that is filled with some fabulous, fabulous recipes, and if you want to learn how to work, for example, there's collard rolls in here. If you're a person in the South and you like your collards, this is something that gives you a different way of fixing them, very flavorful. You've got all kinds of things that you will learn about.
For people, Donna, for people in the South, I have sausage made with almonds, almonds and pecans and the spices that go into sausage. And it tastes very, very, it's very satisfying for people that are used to sausage but yet want to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it almond beetnut roll.
Well, I'll tell you, her book is just loaded with all kinds of wonderful, wonderful information. And I just think that you have done a wonderful job with this book.
Thank you.
You've got so much diversity in it. You've got good recipes. You've got some fun stories. You've got some stories that will really make somebody's eyes pop relative to nutritional information and also present-day information regarding food industries, etc. And Rio, what is your website where people can check more information about you?
My website is rawfoodinfo.com, rawfoodinfo.com.
Rawfoodinfo.com. Rio, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you so much. I wish you continued success with what you're doing. You obviously have a passion for it. And is your farm about 50 acres? Is that about how much you have?
It's about 24 acres.
24 acres. My goodness, that's a lot of land to take care of.
That is.
Have fun, though. I think you're going to really, really enjoy what you're doing.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Rawfoodinfo.com. The book is educating on so many different levels. It's really something that's worth checking into. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna
SIBO publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hello, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and you're welcome to give me a call. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So all you have to do is call me at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I absolutely enjoy having people like Rhea on the air, and I'll tell you why. The understanding of nutrition has, well, I think it's escalating because of people like her. But in the history that I've read about and the information that I've come across in the many years that I have been involved with interviewing guests and reading material and investigating things on my own, the understanding about nature goes back many, many centuries. Homeopathy has come about because of it, naturopathy. The Native Americans had an understanding about so many things. But it takes the consumer, to be interested enough in themselves to say, wait a minute, let me check some things out. You don't have to be an extremist. We all have the right to make our choice, and every one of us metabolically have a different makeup. And so somebody may just absolutely thrive on carrots and turnips, and somebody else, it might be toxic to them. So we have to enjoy this journey. I say have to. We should. We should enjoy this journey of self-exploration, what works for you. And many times we develop habits regarding food because of the way we were raised. And when I look back on my own history, I was very fortunate because I came from an Italian background and I was born and raised in California. And California has always been an environment of entrepreneurial thinking and a willingness to investigate different things. But when I was growing up, there was always an abundance of fruit. There was always an abundance of vegetables. And I think it just absolutely stunned me when I went back to California. This was just a couple of years ago, I think 2 or 3 years ago, when I was back there and I saw the prices of vegetables in the supermarket. I just was stunned because I could remember when I could buy a month's supply of fresh vegetables for $10. Hard to believe. I'd go to the farmer's stall in different areas and different communities we used to have, and it wasn't all that long ago. There was this old guy in Glendale that would come around, and he had started this because he had had a back injury. He would come around the neighborhood, and I found out about him because of my next-door neighbor, who was an Italian lady who grew her own tomatoes and made her own sauces and all this kind of stuff. Well, we had a real empathy. We talk over the backyard fence all the time. And when she told me about him, she said, oh, you got to go over and buy things off of his truck. Well, to me, it sounded like something that would have happened, you know, in the 1920s. I remember seeing movies about the trucks with the produce and all that kind of stuff. Well, this wasn't the 1920s. This man was doing it for years. Apparently, he had started in the 60s. He had had a very, very bad back injury. And he had been an executive professional, and he couldn't work. He couldn't do anything. As it happened, he was visiting a friend who was a farmer, and he farmed potatoes. And in California, they can grow just about anything. And he said, wow. And the guy said, look, he said, we have all of these potatoes that are left in the field because they don't fit the measurements or whatever of the markets that they were distributing to. And he said, you can have them all. And he said, I can't even pick it up. I know we've got a caller, but let me just finish the story. He couldn't bend over to pick up the potatoes. they went and loaded the potatoes on his truck, and he went into the city because he was broke. He had no way of making a living. The guy said, go sell the potatoes in town. He said, are you serious? He said, yeah, go sell the potatoes. He went with a truckload of potatoes. Women lined up to buy them because they were fresh out of the field. They were delicious. He sold, and he started making a living. And I'll tell you the rest of the story later. Great, great lesson in entrepreneurship, but more than that, in the reality of how people respond to good stuff. We've got a caller. Welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Mary, and I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
From Memphis. How nice. How is it getting cool there in Memphis?
You know what it really is? Seeing the fall, colors coming in. There's a little chill in the air. So I thank God for this because we're done with that hot weather. We had a miserable summer, this last summer. And I'm just standing with open arms and welcoming this wonderful fall weather we have now.
Oh, that sounds just terrific. I know how you feel. I just know how you feel. There's something about the fall season. It has its own fragrance. That's how I like to describe it. And when you walk
out, exactly.
Yes.
Wanted to call and say what a wonderful interview that you just gave with that young lady. And I learned so much information. For the last few months, I have been on a regimen, trying to put, at least 70% of my meals, raw in my system. And kind of, just kicking up, the supplements, to another level. I'm in the process of trying to, get my life back on an even keel. And I would just like for you to take a look and see if you see anything.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on having that incentive of exploring what's right for you. I think that's marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're willing to do that, and you don't let other people set your paradigms. Boy, I compliment you. It took me years to learn how to do that, and I still fall back sometimes into the old stuff. It really, especially when it comes to food, you need to trust yourself. That's really, really very important. Okay, let's get down to basics with you. The first thing is, if you really want to see an increase in your income, you're going to need to ask yourself, how much of an investment in some certified training you need to make. And you need to look at it, and you need to investigate it, and you need to figure out your time frame, which I think if you wanted to do it, next year is really a good time to plan for it. That'll give you an opportunity to figure out how you save the money so that you can get that accreditation. Work your plan out. You can have your plan actually in place and making it happen by February of the new year. And I think that you will find that it's going to give you that sense of, there's a combination of feelings. There's a sense of being liberated in that you're breaking your own glass ceiling, but there's also the sense of confinement because you know that you must be on a very, very tight budget.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win, and if you can make a game out of it and realize that maybe you're not going to be going and having pizza out or attending the ballet or something like this, but look at the bigger picture because that certification is going to give you a credibility that you otherwise don't have. And that is what counts.
Did you see an accreditation in a specific field that I should go in?
This is going to seem a little wacky, but I think you'd make a wonderful chef. I think you would fabulously in the food industry. Now, just stop and think about what you said you are discovering for yourself. And there is such a need for good chefs that can really focus on health needs for people and creating delicious,
wow,
flavorful foods. And I think of a woman I saw on television. Oh, this had to have been a couple of years ago. I had nothing but admiration for this little itsy-bitsy squirt of a female. She was just a powerhouse, and she had weighed close to 300 pounds at one time. And
wow,
she was absolutely amazing. I mean, when I looked at the pictures, I said, that cannot be the same person. But she had trimmed down because she had gone to work at what she called a fat farm, where all the fat ladies go to lose weight. And she said, oh, boy, here I am, one of the fat ladies. And she said, there's got to be something here. But she was under the tutorage of marvelous cooks. And she said, wow, I can eat, and I can eat abundantly, but it can taste good at the same time? That's impossible. She just whittles herself down like you wouldn't believe, and she is a success. She's a top-notch chef. So that's, when you ask me the question, that's what I'm saying.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. Donna,
okay,
thank you so
I need to,
much.
Excuse
Your
me, Mary.
Your counsel is always so rich.
Okay, Mary, I need to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Will you stay on the line and I'll come back to you?
Okay.
All right, just stay on the line. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Telephone number 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna, 888-815-9756. Mary, did you have a specific question for me today?
Well, basically, I was just in a quandary, you know, about, you know, what should I do? Because within the last 5 years, you know, I've been taking care of, I took care of my mom until she died, and now I'm taking care of my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just really just been age of a recluse for the last, you know, 5 years, and I thank God he's getting better, so that will enable me to, you know, start working my way back into this thing called life again.
Mm-hmm.
And the information that you just gave me, it was so very useful, you know, because I'm just up in the air right now in regards to what I want to do. I don't want to go back into that old 9-to-5 that I was slugging at for over 20-some-odd years before I had to walk away from my job. And I just want to do something now that is very creative, that I will be able to make a great living in, and, you know, that's about it.
Well, not only do you want to make a good living, you want to enjoy it. You want to feel that
I want
what
to enjoy,
you're doing,
yes.
Yes, you want to feel like your job has a value and a purpose to it and that you are making a difference. Check out my suggestion, and it just feels right with you. And you'll have to call
okay.
me back and let me know what you decide.
I'm afraid you will. God bless, Donna.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks for calling in. This is Donna.
Sure,
Siegel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, remember, I was going to finish his story about the man who was selling the potatoes. Now, this may sound a little trite. He was physically disabled, like I said, because of an accident. Well, after he sold this truckload of potatoes that were given to him by a farmer, didn't cost him a penny. Farmer said, you paid for the gas to drive out here, you just take it. So he went back to the farmer and he said, wow, I made some good money here. Now remember, the potatoes have never been that expensive a food, generally. So he was selling them for pennies on a pound, but he still came away with a thick roll of cash. So what he started to do, he started looking around for a truck, and he found a truck, and the farmer said, this is an opportunity for you to make a living. People always need to eat. You come to my field, and I'll talk to some of the other farmers, and we'll supply you with what would be considered throwaway, and you'll have a chance to get back on your feet. So by golly, that's what this gentleman did. And do you know what? Every week, he would be in that truck, and he would have sometimes zucchini, sometimes sweet potatoes, sometimes regular potatoes, whatever was in season was in his truck. This man always worked with cash. His produce was the finest and best. It beat anything in the stores. And I'll never forget the first day I went to the truck. My neighbor had told me about this little Italian lady. So I go over there, and I'm amazed. I had never seen sweet potatoes the size of small footballs. That's what he had. White potatoes. Huge. They were bigger than the Texas style you'll see in restaurants. I mean, these things were big. Cabbages. Tomatoes. I was just amazed. This man said, and he was wearing, you know, the overalls and the snappy things on his chest, the suspenders and sometimes, and he looked like just a regular farm character. And we just had a chance to chat. And he told me his story. And I said, my goodness, who in a million years would have ever expected that you could have had a good living at selling fresh food? Well, I had women standing in line there there were black women that were from the South, and they were standing in line, and they were saying, oh, you got to know about these sweet potatoes. They're the best things that you could ever put in your mouth. And his yams, they're the best. Some of these women, I learned, were cooks from different houses in the area. There was a very wealthy area called Las Feliz, and people would come in from all around the Glendale Burbank area to come to his truck. The women all knew about it. They were prepared. They could buy enough food for their families for such a reasonable amount of money. I started shopping there myself. It was wonderful. But more than anything else, it was the camaraderie. Recipes were exchanged. And I look back on that memory, and I just think, this is really great. And the supermarkets weren't too happy. Well, eventually, it grew up and developed to such a degree there was no place for him to take his truck. So I don't know where he is, but I'm sure he found a place where he could sell his fresh fruits and vegetables because the demand for them was just extremely high. So when you shop local, that was a lesson I learned many years ago, and you get to know the people who supply the food, you get a real insight into how you can do the best for yourself, for your family, and enjoy the benefits of good health. And during the winter months, don't forget some of the richest nutritional vegetables you can have are the dark greens, the winter greens like kale, collards, all of those greens, mustard greens, they are fabulous. Put them in soups. You can do whatever you want with them. You can juice them. But they are really meant to be consumed during the winter months to keep you healthy. And it will make a difference. And don't forget to add those supplements in, too, because that helps as well. I know we're running out of time. I want to share a cute story with you about a psychiatrist and a bartender. It reads like this. Ever since I was a child, I've always had a fear of someone under my bed at night. So I went to a shrink, and I told him, I got problems. Every time I go to bed, I think there's somebody under it. I'm scared. I think I'm going crazy. Just put yourself in my hands for 1 year, said the shrink. Come talk to me 3 times a week, and we should be able to get rid of those fears. How much do you charge? $80 per visit, replied the doctor. I'll sleep on it, I said. 6 months later, the doctor met me on the street. Why didn't you come to see me about those fears you were having? He asked. Well, Doc, $80 a visit 3 times a week for a year is an awful lot of money. A bartender cured me for $10. I was so happy to have saved all that money, I went and bought me a new pickup. Is that so? With a bit of an attitude, he said, and how, may I ask, did a bartender cure you. Well, he told me to cut the legs off the bed. Ain't nobody under there now. Okay, I know it's corny, but I enjoyed it. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take care, be well, be happy, be sassy. It's a good thing. This is Donna Sebo. We'll see you right here tomorrow, same time, same place. Great guest lineup. We'll be back. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.